Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. This program will be available following this broadcast, and you'll be able to listen to it again, get further information by going to our guest's website, which is also at richarddugan.com, and we will be giving that website out as well. An extraordinary time in which we live. I'm kind of following news events, and of course on this program we don't usually talk about them, but only because they're rather extraordinary. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, why did it take this long for people to finally get up and get out and say enough is enough? But it also raises some other very interesting questions as to who we are and how connected we are with one another. And I'm going to somehow segue that into my guest, but it shows us that there are differences between us that we say we can visibly see, but then there are differences between us that aren't really there. I've often used the line, this is my own personal quote, if there is a difference that makes a difference, then there's a difference. But if there is a difference that makes no difference, there is no difference. And right now, people are seeing differences in themselves and in others because others have something that they want or they have something they want to get rid of and they can't get rid of it, whatever the case might be. And people are getting frustrated. They're getting angry. They're emoting in many different ways and haven't seen any solutions yet, haven't seen any offered. Well, we're going to see if we can't offer some solutions, and we're going to challenge our guest today on that as well. And we're also going to talk about a special event that's coming up next Saturday specifically, but this is ongoing events, but this is a very special one, that next Saturday, October the 22nd, and it's going on down in Los Angeles, and we'll talk more about that with our guest returning to Tell Me Your Story for, I've lost count, Eric Pearl, 3, 4, 5 times. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on here again.
This is, it's an extraordinary time in which we live. There's no question about it. And the frustrations that people are feeling are affecting them right down to the cellular level, not just in terms of engaging them to get out of the house and out into society, enough with the virtual socializing, if you will. They want to see something, they want to see some changes. But I'm wondering how much of a metaphor is that with what's going on within us as individuals?
Well, we are changing all the time, and yet time is actually an interesting key word to this, because time might be the key to what is allowing us to open up, change, and expand. Time has been noted through quantum physics to be moving faster. I know it's kind of funny to use the word faster, which is a time-related word, but that's the way the quantum physicists explain it. The time is moving faster, not so much from point A to point B, but in all directions at once. So In other words, time is opening up and expanding. And as it opens up and expands, it expands our existence, because we are existing in a little four-dimensional playground here in the huge multidimensional universe, and our playground is encompassed by height, width, depth, and time. So as time opens up and expands, we access more of the universe. We become more multidimensional beings, more consciously aware of the universe and the dimensions around us, the simultaneous planes of existence, as is spoken of in string theory. And with our evolution comes a restructuring, as the science is now showing, once we interact with reconnective healing, it restructures, or what I like to say, reconnects the DNA, which allows us to expand more and to become more conscious. And with more conscious with us being more conscious, we make more conscious choices and decisions. So mm-hmm. we are changing from within, which changes the without, which is interestingly opposite to the way a lot of people like to go about it. A lot of people want to go out and heal the planet and heal mm-hmm. the earth and heal governments and heal groups, but the point is we have to change first from within ourselves, because we have to recognize that what we're seeing on the earth is not a different part of us. It's a reflection of who and what we are. We can blame it on the actions of other people, but we've allowed those other people to be there, and our interaction with those other people is part of a shared consciousness through this field, what today science calls zero-point field. So as we change our own consciousness, then the consciousness of the people in place and or the people in place themselves become changed and different, and we find better decisions. So it's not as if we're here to work on the reflection in the mirror. If we don't like the reflection in the mirror, a new mirror won't make us look any better.
This is true. This is true. And what I find so fascinating is, as you've described this, it goes from the micro to the macro and not the other way around. And when I take a look at passages, say, from the Bible or other great religious writings, and they talk about the creation of the universe, it all started with, using the biblical phrase, it all started with the Word, which it comes from thought, and we're then talking about micro, which then expanded into the macro, which is what we're looking at today, our external selves and the world around us. Now, you have an event coming up. It's the Reconnections 9th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference coming up next Saturday in Southern California. It's going to be going on in Los Angeles. And if I'm correct, where did I read that? It's at the Hilton Marriott. Am I correct?
It's at the Universal City Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles.
The Hilton. Okay. And folks can go to reconnection.com.
The Reconnection.
Okay, there is a the in front. So thereconnection.com. They can get more information about it and register for it. And of course, this isn't the only event you have going on. It's one we're kind of focusing on today. But you have ongoing, shall we say, classes. I like to call them booster shots, because it's like if you're working on expanding and raising your consciousness and healing yourself so as to do likewise and help others, then you sort of get a shot in the arm, if you will, to keep moving forward, and it helps you to continue the work that you're doing.
Right. Now, what you're speaking about that's happening on Saturday is what we call a mastery conference, mm-hmm. where people can come. It's a one-day event and listen to such speakers as Dr. Joe Dispenza, Gary Zukav, and his wife Linda Francis, Lynn McTaggart, who's the author of The Field and The Bond, and Lee Carroll, who wrote the Cryon books. And I, of course, will be speaking on that day also. But on that Friday night is when we give an introduction to the healing seminar that we're teaching Sunday and Monday that weekend. It's a three-hour presentation where I talk about the history of the work, the theory of the work, how the reconnection came about, the philosophy of it, the science behind it today, including the new science showing how it restructures not only the DNA, but how it restructures for the better our blood, and which is the results of a new study we just did with the Russian Olympic athletes. And then we give everyone a chance to feel it in your hands, and we bring up some volunteers from the audience to give live demonstrations of the healing so you can see just how real they are. But that Sunday and Monday, that's when we teach you how to do the work, and it's a real working seminar. So I'm going to tell everyone right now, as clearly as I can possibly state this, do not come if you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, om, and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, because it will not happen that way. We'll demonstrate a level of the healing from the stage, then we go to massage tables in groups of two or four. My teaching team and myself, we walk around to each of the tables, and we work with your hands so that you can begin to feel and tune into certain aspects of this new healing frequency. And as you do that, you'll start to see the persons on the table. You'll see their body respond. Maybe their eyes will rapidly dart back and forth. We'll show you how to feel a different aspect of it. And when you feel that, you'll see that their feet move or their fingers move, for example. And you start to recognize that, when I'm here, I see this and I feel this, and when I'm here, I feel that and I see that, you start to recognize your role in this. And as we do this throughout the weekend, by that Monday, I can pretty much make you two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet and fed grains of seed, each one flown in the beak of an individually hand-painted bird, or whether they moved to Brazil and changed their perfectly good family name to Of God. It doesn't matter the story. It just matters our willingness to transcend the stories.
Indeed. And you've been doing this for how long? You've been involved with the reconnection.
I've been teaching this fairly strongly for about 10 years.
10 years. And my understanding is that attendees are going to go on an adventurous day of exciting discovery that for themselves and that the world that they live in and the potential for the future is going to, I don't want to say be revealed, but they're going to have a better understanding. And you made an interesting comment. You said their role. They are not just receptacles. Destination points for this reconnection, for this healing energy. Explain that a little bit more.
The people receiving it or the people learning how to do it?
Well, actually, both. Because
okay.
I understand the people who are healing, doing the work, if you will, they are more like conduits, but they're not excluded from the effects. But people
right.
who are
so they're not just conduits.
Right.
You learn to become a catalyst.
Uh-huh.
The healing.
Okay.
The difference is that a conduit is unchanged in the interaction.
Okay.
In
bad metaphor.
In other words, like a straw is not normally very much changed by the milkshake that flows through it. But in this situation, it becomes a blending of the power of three to vibrate as a greater power of one. The power of three meaning A, the person on the massage table that you're working on, B, you as the practitioner, and C, God, love, or the universe, whatever word makes you happiest. And as these vibrate together, they produce something greater than the sum of their parts, and fairly instantaneous healings happen. Part of what has so much science and research interested in studying what's going on with reconnective healing is the fact that it is so very, very distinct from any form of just energy healing or any kind of technique. First of all, it allows you to completely transcend the techniques, so you don't have to learn the complicated steps any longer or symbols. You don't have to wear jewelry or use wands. You don't have to worry about protecting yourself in a white flame and a purple flame and pulling up imaginary zippers or spraying yourself down with alcohol. It allows you to completely transcend the modalities and the techniques to facilitate healings that tend to be fairly instantaneous and tend to be lifelong. And it allows you to completely demystify the healing process. So the questions become, if the gift of this is that it allows us to transcend our techniques, the challenge is whether or not we're willing to. The gift of this is that it allows us to demystify the healing process, the challenge is whether or not we're willing to allow it to be demystified. So the questions become, if we're not willing to transcend our techniques to bring about more for the people who come to see us, then we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to demystify the healing process and allow it to become clear and transparent for everyone, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to ask ourselves why, we need to ask ourselves why we're not willing to ask ourselves why, because it is within that question that lies our next step into our mastery. And what's intriguing about facilitating healings at this level is you find that in the process of facilitating healings for others, you receive your own healing simultaneously.
Mm. Well, you have quite a group of folks that are going to be joining you there next Saturday. Now, you've sort of answered this question already, but I want to ask it in a little different way.
I don't know how to answer it in a little different way?
Well, then I guess we'll move on to something else.
Okay, we can try it.
We have, as I started out the program, we have various things going on around the country, let alone around the world, and people are trying to change the world through more physical means, if you will. And there are modalities that say that that energy can be sent out to other than individuals, to circumstances, and that you send that energy out to that circumstance, and it will help to change that. But it goes, but what you have already stated is that it has to be done from the micro to the macro.
The circumstance did not arise by itself. The circumstance is a reflection of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And so it really does come back to, I mean, we can't escape this equation. If you don't heal yourself, forget about the circumstance.
And that's the key word, Richard, what you just said, escape. We can't escape it. And what's so important about that word is not that it's something for us to escape, but that so many people are trying to escape it. So many people want to heal the planet by going out and hugging trees, when in reality it's an excuse for them to not have to share on an intimate level who they are with another human being. And the fact is once we do start sharing this on a more intimate level, then we change, our decisions change, and we find that the Earth, as a reflection of who we are, demonstrates trees that are healthier and loved, as an example.
An extraordinary process that we are talking about, and it's called The Reconnection. And the special event is next Saturday, and actually it starts on Friday at the Universal Hilton. And you can get more information by going to TheReconnection.com. That's TheReconnection.com. My guest is Dr. Eric Pearl, and, you know, we met probably, 8 or 9 years ago in Sedona.
Probably.
And my wife and I came up to Sedona when you were holding an event up there and had the privilege of being in on a couple of your sessions up there. And it was quite extraordinary. I as we've done these so many of these programs so far, I can't believe we're into our fifth year of this radio broadcast. And we've talked with you a number of times, and I have to say that one of the keys, and I would encourage our listeners to go back to those interviews. Nothing's changed. I mean, what you're telling us isn't any different today than it was on any of those other interviews.
Truth doesn't change.
Right.
Truth is truth. You know, it's like, I hate to use this analogy, but when the police try to debrief someone that they suspect of doing something, they ask them the same questions over and over and over again, waiting to see if there's a fluctuation in it, because people who have to remember things or make things up or create them can't necessarily keep the facts straight. But when you're just drawing upon an experience that happened, then you're really just teaching the experience or teaching the universal laws or the principles of the universe. And the fact is that they don't change as to whether or not we agree with them or when we want them to change. We have to change enough, evolve enough to be able to recognize the insights.
Now, is there one element that does change for us, and that is our understanding? Because I've used the analogy that there are 10 million laws of the universe. Man discovers 10 and thinks that he knows them all. Then the following year, he discovers number 11. Oh, we have it all now. But it seems to me like, and this goes to what you just stated, it's more our opening up to a greater understanding for ourselves as time, as you started out the program talking about, moves forward.
You know what would help? What our understanding is, what you're talking about really is the difference between the basic tenets of inductive logic and deductive logic.
Okay.
Inductive logic says that you study the liver, and you study the kidneys, and you study the brain, and you study the blood, and we add them all up, and we have a human being. But it doesn't really work that way. Even if we took the entire human being and totally dissected them and then added the parts back up, we wouldn't have the human being again, because it's lost, if nothing else, its life force. In other words, the whole is considered to be the sum of its parts via inductive logic. The truth is, if we know more today than we did yesterday, and if we're going to know more tomorrow than today, and more in 10 years, and more in 100 years, and more in 100,000 years, as you're talking about, then we never have all of the parts. In other words, the whole might be equal to the sum of its parts, and it might not, but it's never equal to just sum of its parts, which is all we ever have when we look at doing that addition. Sometimes we have to take a more deductive approach, which is to look at the bigger picture. And when we look at the bigger picture, we can suddenly see how the laws and principles of the universe come into play. It's sort of like studying the sun or the rays of the sun. We can study all the rays of the sun, but since they're always changing, even though they holographically contain the sun, we even if we added all the rays of the sun up together, we'd never recreate the sun. We have to understand the sun somewhat to be able to understand the rays. It's not always micro to macro, but it's time that we start to look at the ones that we've been least comfortable looking at. We've been least comfortable revealing ourselves. In the world of healing, part of what we teach is how to share that and reveal ourselves. There's a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion, and we need to carry this understanding as a life process. It's the unveiling of a multifaceted force within our lives. We need to peel away the exterior so that that eternal being, that internal being, shines through to those we come into contact with. This eternal soul that resides within our framework is being covered up in many ways by our fears. And in the work of healing, this is what we need to do, to unveil our souls. It is not a simple process, and this stripping away of ego is an eternal process, this selflessness that must shine through the being that can reach in without interference. Once we allow our soul, that egoless purity, to come through, that is almost a common denominator in that it has the ability to automatically fuse with the frequency of the person you're coming into contact with. So our job, your job in this process, is to strip away the defense, strip away the mind, strip away the control mechanisms that we have in this plane and let them go. Let them be a part of an exterior that has nothing to do with you. And present that soul in the room. It will automatically do the work. That energy is the common universal language of the cosmos. It's understood immediately. It is felt intrinsically, and it is reflected in the world around us, the governments, the choices, the climates, and everything else.
Extraordinary, and I hope that people are truly listening to what you're saying and that point. If not, go back and listen to this program again. Dr. Eric Pearl, I want you to stay right where you are. We're going to be coming back in just a couple of moments. This is Tell Me Your Story, a reminder of the event on the 22nd of October at the Universal Hilton in Los Angeles, and you can go to thereconnection.com to get further information. Stay where you are. We'll be right back.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip to burn fat. Wake up and work out. Here's a powerful way to burn fat quickly in the morning. As soon as you wake up in the morning, work out for at least 30 minutes to an hour. Studies have shown that working out in the morning has been shown to burn up to 3 times more fat as opposed to working out at any other time during the day. An elevated metabolism throughout the day only means that you'll burn more calories and lose more weight. So on your morning checklist, work out for at least 30 minutes after waking up in the morning and eat a healthy breakfast. Morning exercisers stay with it. Studies have shown that people who exercise in the morning are more likely to still be exercising 1 year later when compared to those who exercise at other times during the day. And morning exercisers have more energy. Although initially you may have to drag yourself out of bed in the morning to exercise, it's worth it. You'll have more energy at work and energy to take care of the kids.
And morning exercisers sleep better. Exercising in the morning will help you sleep better at night, since you hopefully are sleeping earlier to get up earlier. This way, you'll follow your natural sleep cycle. And morning exercisers eat healthier. Getting up early to exercise creates a mindset of doing something positive and healthy, so you'll probably eat healthier. And morning exercisers are in a better mood. Exercising in the morning creates a positive, happy mood, and your mind will feel clear and calm. That great feeling can last all day after a morning workout. Please start an exercise program in the morning and enjoy the many life-changing benefits.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Do you wonder?
This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Could I have said that any faster? And now Eric was talking about how time is moving faster. I need to slow it. Take a couple of, what was it? One of my guests early on in this program said, stop and take a couple of deep breaths and it will slow you down and re-energize you. We have Beth McDonald, a AAA editor on the program. She probably has something to say about that as well. Welcome back to the program, Beth, after last week. Here we are halfway through October, really?
Already, and shifting towards Scorpio. There's planets into that deep sign, urging us to be connected and deeper in our private worlds and personal worlds, and then in our connections with others.
So what is our motif, if you will, for this week? I know we just went through a full moon.
Yes.
Interesting. And that was one bright set of three nights of moon. Yes. I could have read outside.
Yes. Whew. Yes. But your soundbite for this week is courage, compassion, and the ability to swim in deeper waters.
Mm.
It takes a lot of courage to live deeply. It also takes a lot of compassion for self and others, especially in times like now where so much is changing and so many of us are trying to create change. You know, I think it's so awesome that the Martin Luther King Memorial thing is happening right now, reminding us that we're creating change courageously, compassionately, without violence, without aggression, by simply the strength of our convictions.
So this coming week, what can we look forward to?
Well, there's an awesome meteor shower on Friday.
Oh, wait a minute. Where do we need to be so we're not in any danger? Where can we see it the best? When can we see it the best?
I honestly don't know that bit. I just know that it's happening on Friday, and here in California, you know, it gets so hazy.
Yeah.
That always the NASA website is a good place for information about that. That's kind of the place where I go. I haven't looked that up. I'm trying to stay in the now.
here you go. So go to Google and Google October 21st meteor shower, and I'm sure that it'll pull up all kinds of good stuff for you.
Yes, the technical term for this one is the, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Orionitis.
I've seen my doctor, got some ointment, I'm okay.
Yeah, I got a prescription for that. But it's Friday the 21st.
Again, Google.
Yeah, our pal Google. Yeah, I didn't expect to be talking about that. I'm so focused on the Sun and Saturn that are in Libra, and then Venus and Mercury have moved into Scorpio, which is so much about communicating deeply with the people that we care the most about, or the people who are in a position to create change.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw a bunch of thoughts in my mind about that as far as my own life and what's going on. And so I'm sitting here going, okay, Beth, I need further clarification.
Well, you call me.
Beth,
we'll talk.
And folks can call you at 963-0842 or go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes, anytime.
Great. Thank you very much, Beth. And we will look forward to talking with you next Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
You
and
bet.
Thank you to your guests.
All right. And we're going to move on to another quick little segment here. This guest is going to be on our program in December, but she has an event coming up next Saturday. Her name is Marie Diamond of the Law of Attraction 2012. Marie, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I know we only have a couple of moments with you. Your only U.S. Appearance, basically, the Law of Attraction 2012. And, of course, you were featured in The Secret. Tell us a little bit about this event that's coming up next Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be where? In Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's in Los Angeles in the Alex Hotel. And, you know, being in The Secret, a lot of people have been really focusing on creating a better life for themselves, and it has been about, you know, improving themselves. But we are now in a time where we need to start working on the collective law of attraction and what we all can bring together and to step up to be a leader in change for the world. And, you know, we look around us and we see that people are stepping up. You know, they are coming forward and say to the world what they really want. But now we have to create a spiritual connection with between leaders and between people that are like, you know what, I'm one of the people that are here with my sole purpose to move forward. But they have to connect with each other. And so I've been working for the last 30 years with top leaders in all fields of society, and they have a bigger field, a bigger vision of how to create collective change. And that's why they can actually run big corporations and they can have major shifts happening in their lives. But I think it's time now that the people that have been working individually on improving their success and their romance and all the things they've been using by The Secret to go to the last part that is in the movie The Secret, and that's about the collective change. Not just to individually change, but through your personal transformation, connecting with others and create a collective transformation. So the Law of Attraction 2012 is exactly about this. And so I'm going to give you the tools that I've been coaching the leaders with in the last 30 years to improve themselves, but then immediately have impact. We have to come from a self-help world into an impact world where it's like, okay, great that you change yourself, but what do you do immediately to change the world around you? You know, not just your family, your community, but the world around you. So how to align ourselves, our soul purpose together. And that's what the Law of Attraction 2012 seminar is about. It's the global launch. So I'm actually teaching this all over the world, also in the virtual seminars. And so I'm very excited, and thank you for having me to give the opportunity for you to understand. If you feel you're one of the enlightened leaders for 2012 and the world beyond, then I would say then it's really your place to be there.
Absolutely. And they can go to lawofattraction.com. That's
Law of Attraction 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The Law of Attraction 2012.com is the website. And we're going to be talking with you again. We'll have you on the program, on this program, in December to talk further about this, because this is something that is staying in the forefront of people's minds. I thank you so much. And then again, a reminder, it's next Saturday and Sunday. And you say it's at the LAX hotel?
Yeah, it's in the Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn at LAX. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And we look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Okay, me too. Thank you so much, Richard.
Bye-bye. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Understanding is what it is all about, and this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Dr. Eric Pearl of TheReconnection.com. The Reconnection is also the book, and a special event coming up next Saturday, and that's at the Universal, and I want to make sure that I get that correct, the Universal Hilton in Los Angeles, if I am correct.
That's right.
And you can get information by going to TheReconnection.com and getting further information. Have you revised or updated or Is there even a need to do so? Your book, The Reconnection, and are you working on a new one that, I don't, what, expands on it, or it's going in a little different direction? Tell us a little bit about all that.
I haven't revised or updated the first one because it requires no revision.
Okay.
Or updating. It is in its present form, in its perfect form, I believe. I am working finally on a second book, and it will be a deeper level of teaching for practitioners to be able to bring through more of the healings themselves. And if you want, I can share an excerpt with you.
Please.
Okay. The whole process here on this plane, especially on Earth, is to understand the compassion of human beings, to understand that someone's suffering is ultimately our suffering. We need to recognize as universal that when one child cries in one country, someone else weeps in another because of it. We are that connected. And in the process of discovering that truth, that one person's suffering is many people's suffering, we gain compassion and wisdom that we take with us into our worlds. It's the experiential path that we need to tread to see the big picture. It's an acceptance and an appreciation of that vital force that exists now, that is here in this second, that you've been endowed with an energy that is manifest in flesh and bone, that breathes and lives. It's not just taking for granted the mechanism, but rejoicing and celebrating it. That's the true guarantee of coming to terms with some sort of enlightenment in this planet, that in every single moment that we experience, there is incredible joy and celebration to be appreciated in every moment, not just some. We sort of characterize what we consider great happy moments and sad moments. We compartmentalize them as various desirable experiences, undesirable experiences, yet there are no desirable experiences if you open your soul to them, because in every experience there is the germ of incredible wisdom if it is harvested. If it is recognized, we toss away what we consider useless material, not looking deeper into it, not recognizing the incredible knowledge that comes with every experience. We're very judgmental, and that comes from our ego. It depends on where we shine our focus.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple little parts.
I like that very much.
Oh, thank you.
It is something that... We were talking certainly before the program started here again, and I had quoted something, and I found the actual passage that I was paraphrasing from John 14:12-14, and basically having to do with Jesus telling his disciples that the person that believes in me will do the same things that I have done. Yes, he will do even greater things than I have done. Then he poses the question, why? Because I am going to the Father, et cetera, et cetera. But he basically, he prepared the way for us to, I mean, this is, again, from the Bible itself, it's saying that I'm doing these things, but hey, so will you, but you're going to do even greater things than I have done. And I have to wonder how we've missed that. And it seems to me that because somehow we became disconnected, and here you're bringing us the reconnection.
Where does that appear?
John 14:12-14. According to this particular version. It's not the King James Version, I know that, because there were no these or thous in this particular translation.
Well, you know, they say there's only one Bible, all 26 versions of it.
So. Well, if I knew Aramaic and Hebrew, I would be reading the original and hopefully understanding it.
You know, you find some very interesting things, though, if you do go back to the original. For example, I remember, you know, in a lot of the... in a lot of the old westerns on television, they would talk about God-fearing, being God-fearing. The very, you know, Protestant churches back then would talk about that. And I always felt that there was something wrong with that expression. What kind of a God would want us to fear them? And I was giving a presentation in Sfat, which is a city in the north of Israel, the cradle of Kabbalah, where Kabbalah first started, and I was presenting with the head rabbi there. And I was talking to him about this, and I said, you know, it wouldn't feel like fear to me. It would feel like awe. And he said, well, that's exactly what the word is. The word that was used in the Bible was nora, which means awe, but it was mistranslated as fear.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that much of the Hebrew language, but I did some studying of the alphabet and the 22 characters, and that each character has a legend of its own. It has
yes.
its own tonal vibration, its own mm-hmm. color, its own numerical representation, if you will, or association, and so forth, and its own meaning. And that when you start putting the letters together into words, it creates something brand new, and then words into sentences and so forth. Then when it's translated into other languages, it's like it goes through a filtered system and all that stuff is left behind.
Correct.
And so we lose, shall we say, the meat, the core of what was written down in that respect.
Right. I mean, we try to reestablish it here by attempting to apply numerology to the English alphabet, but it definitely loses the vibration, the spirituality.
Yeah, I know what you're referring to, and it was interesting when that particular book came out, and they were talking about the Bible code, and I thought, but you're doing it to the English.
Yeah.
You're not doing it to the Hebrew or the Aramaic.
It wasn't set up to really be the Bible code. It was just, you know, it was like those plays that they do, you know, in the movies to excite people. What were they doing with the Catholic Church recently?
Yes.
And, you know, things like that. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting if it's real. Otherwise, it's really, you know, fiction. It's not to say that there's not, you know, a couple of drops of reality in there to make it exciting. And it's good entertainment. But the reality of the vibration of the words, of course, change the language, change the words, the vibration changes.
Now, you have Lynn McTaggart on the dais for this particular event, and I know you have spent time with her in various workshops and seminars and programs over the years. And so the work that you're doing and the work that she's doing are quite intertwined. She's talking about, for example, the field and this field of energy that we are all in and a part of and affecting and so forth. And so I'm wondering about the energetic field, let's just say, of the planet. Now, we've already talked about the macro versus micro. I won't go there again, but I'm curious as to what your understanding is of the interplay, and maybe there is no difference here, in the energy of the planet versus our own energy in terms of that universal healing energy, the reconnection that we're talking about here.
Well, the reconnection is really us reconnecting with our original fullness as human beings. And if you speak with people who have had the real life after death experience, they talk about that space where they're in, where they understand that there's a reason for everything, everything makes perfect sense, and understanding the secrets and the insights of the universe. And that's who we are in between our lifetimes. But here, we carry that the impression of us being separate and distinct from one another, when truly what we are able to reconnect with is that fullness that we experience between lifetimes. This is what allows us to become more evolved. We're placed here to appear separate and distinct so that we go through the struggle of learning our lessons, of learning that we are all connected, that we are all one. We are here to learn compassion, and to truly develop and establish compassion, we have to recognize that all are one. Or as we develop the compassion, we simply do recognize that we are all one. Until then, it's hard to find compassion. It's like it's the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy is what you have for another person, and empathy is when you feel one with that other person.
And it goes into an area of a conversation I was having with someone quite literally just yesterday, where I said, I'm perplexed by this whole concept of how the great religions of the world talk about how there is this oneness out there that created everything, i.e., including us.
And yet the religions are separate and fight with each other.
Well, there's that too. There's that the dualism that we're also taught about in the great writings of these religions, but that we're all going back to the oneness. And I sit here going, well, then what the heck are we doing here in this duality if we're going back there? And then what is the whole point? And this person sat there and just laughed uproariously at me and said, and you are asking the ultimate question of the universe.
Right.
And I said, so what? The question still stands.
Sure.
So it goes to, and it goes to what you're talking about.
It's for us to learn. If we were given the information immediately from the beginning, then we wouldn't appreciate the value of the discovery.
Mm-hmm. But if we came from the all-knowing in the first place,
right,
wouldn't we have already known that?
But we've chosen, or the plan is for us to be here not knowing that.
Okay.
And so that we can discover more of, so that we can learn along the way. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me either, believe me. I'm thinking, why don't we just know it now?
That's right.
But we don't. We're here to develop more. Let me talk.
Go ahead.
Let me give it to you this way in some different, more colorful language.
Okay, be careful now.
Okay. Your heart is coming here to understand a deeper sense of your truth. You need to recognize your heart is in the space that's allowing you to illustrate your greater being. Your feelings are being carried through now on a different plane, and your energy exists in this sphere of influence that is central to your understanding of a different sphere of influence. You're allowed to carry yourself on this plane, and you will find that there is a greater facility for recognizing the needs of those you come into contact with. Feel your life, suffice it to say, carry its force in a varied and multidimensional direction. Now, I know that what I said doesn't sound black and white clear, but it's not really designed to. It's designed for us to start to explore our exploration, which is really what you were doing in that question yourself,
mm-hmm.
exploring the reason that we're here to explore. If the answer already exists, why aren't we born with it? But if we were born with it, we wouldn't grow through the experience. We're not here for the answers. We're here to grow through the questioning. Philosophy is not about the answers. It's about the questions. We'll all know all the answers all too soon, but our growth comes in the search.
I was told years ago that I asked a lot of questions and that I should leave some unanswered for eternity.
I don't think you have to worry about running out of questions.
Before we wrap up our program here, and we are rapidly running out of that wonderful time that you alluded to at the beginning of the program, who is Eric Pearl?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking Eric Pearl.
Then you know who I am.
And I believe that's set and match for Dr. Eric Pearl. What is it that you hope to achieve or that you want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
I feel that our greatest lesson is to make our choices through love, not through fear. I had to go through my own search for this one. I remember when these healings first started happening, and I didn't know anything about healings because I didn't study them. I mean, you know, the background story, but, you know, in a nutshell, I went home on a Friday thinking I was a chiropractor. I came back on a Monday, and I was something else. My parents always told me I was something else, but this isn't what they had in mind. But I would go to healers then, thinking that healers must have experience and expertise in this and that they could help me out. And they kept saying to me, well, what's the source of these healings? It was one of the first questions everyone asked. And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, how do you know it's a good source? I said, it's God, it's love, it's the universe. They said, but how do you know? And so I thought, well, I just know. And they said, well, you need to find out. In other words, they had the audacity to infuse fear where fear had no place, because the only consciousness there was really one of awe, not fear. And they didn't have the integrity to give me a way out, because I said, well, how do I get the answer? And they said, ask it. Well, even I knew that was a ridiculous question. Ask it if it's a good source. I mean, if it's a good source, it'll tell you the truth and say it's a good source. If it's a bad source, it'll lie and say it's a good source. So I had no way out of it. And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I finally thought, well, what are the two worst-case possible scenarios? Scenario A, I die, I show up at the pearly gates or wherever we go, and St. Peter or whoever is there, and they flip through the book and they find my name. They go, Eric Pearl, Eric Pearl, Eric Pearl. You led a lot of people down a foolish path. You have to go back and live your life over 600 times. Well, that's not very exciting. Nope. But worst-case scenario number two, they flip through the book, they go, Eric Pearl, Eric Pearl, Eric Pearl. We gave you an opportunity to make a change that could have ripple effects in the consciousness and healing throughout the world, throughout the universe, in perpetuity, and you didn't do it because you were afraid. Now, you see, that was the answer that I couldn't live with. So at this moment, when you ask this question, I, of course, hope that when I look back on my life, I see that this work continues after I leave the body, that it does have tremendous ripple effects in consciousness and healing and evolution throughout the planet, and yet my greatest smile will come from knowing that I made my choice not from fear, but from love.
I want to thank you so much for sharing that and yourself with us here on the program today. And I want to remind our listeners that the Reconnection, the Mastery Class, is next Saturday with a special event on Friday. Go to thereconnection.com to get further information and register. It will be at the Universal Hilton in Los Angeles. And again, thank you so much for being on the program. I love having you on because it's always such a blast. I never know where it's going, which is part of the point of the program.
Really?
But we always wind up with some great stuff.
I'm so glad. By the way, just for a few of your listeners who might not be available in October for this seminar, there are two others in North America that will be giving this year. One that one of my assistant instructors is giving in Vancouver, November 12 and 13, and one that I'll be giving in Miami, December 2 through 4. And the one in Miami and the ones here in Los Angeles, including the conference, are simultaneously translated into Spanish.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your time. And you've been listening to Tell Me Your Story. Again, my guest, Dr. Eric Pearl, and thereconnection.com. We are linked to his website as well, so it's very easy for you to check that out. And we encourage you to join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. Love to all.